Kenny Barron grew up in Philadelphia, started piano lessons at six.
I came from a family of five siblings. So I had two brothers and two sisters. And studying piano was required.
Is that right? That was a part of the rites of passage in the
Barron home. Exactly, exactly. So, and I grew to love, and that continued. And as well as my oldest brother was also a musician.
Yeah, Bill, right.
Yeah, right.
Wonderful saxophonist. Bill Barron soon opened younger brother Kenny's ears to jazz.
I was exposed to jazz because Bill had a great record collection, old 78s. You know, all bebop stuff, Dexter and Bird and Dizzy and Wardell Gray and people like that.
Yeah.
And so I heard the music. And then also Philadelphia had a really great 24-hour jazz radio station.
By his early teen years, Kenny Barron had advanced enough to start making gigs.
The very first gig I did, which my brother got me, wasn't a quote-unquote jazz gig, but the music was like playing standards and rhythm and blues, which at the time really meant songs built on I Got Rhythm Changes and blues, you know,
right
at the time. So that was my first gig, and that kind of whetted my appetite, you know. And there was an orchestra, there's a band called Mel Melvin, who didn't really play anything. He just had a lot of different bands working around Philadelphia. And what we played was what we call cabarets, and they were dances, and but the band was required to play for dancers, you know, like what we called shake dancers,
right,
on stage. And you were required to play for singers who would come up and sing, and things like that. So it was almost like a variety show.
A comedian, maybe? So they kind of an old-style variety show, but with music throughout.
Exactly. And then you also had to play for dancing for the patrons.
For the patrons to dance, not just the professional dancers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, that must have been a great experience. How old were you when that was started?
I guess my first gig was, I think it was 14.
Within a few years, Kenny Barron was certain music would be his lifelong pursuit.
There was no doubt for me. None whatsoever, you know. And then, when I got out of high school, or maybe even before, my brother had moved to New York. So a friend of mine and myself, we went to New York just to visit him, because I'd never been. And he lived on the Lower East Side. And, it was just fascinating. There was so much music there and so much life. Because in Philadelphia at midnight, you know, the city kind of shut down.
Rolled up the sidewalk.
Yeah. But you go to New York and at midnight, there were traffic jams. People all out in the street. And we actually decided, my friend and I, from the Lower East Side, we decided to walk to Birdland.
Wow.
And it was that, the walk itself was just fantastic, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we were just both of us wide-eyed. And we walked to Birdland, and then I don't remember who was working there, but I remember seeing Kenny Dorham, for instance, just listening to whoever was there. And and Max Roach. And that's when I decided I'm moving to New York.
After finishing high school, Kenny Barron stayed in Philadelphia for about a year, then hit the Big Apple, where he fairly quickly found work.
I was actually fairly lucky. You know, I wound up going to the Five Spot because I wound up living next door to my brother, actually, with a bass player that I had met in Detroit named Vishnu Wood. And I could walk to the Five Spot. So I walked to the Five Spot one day and one evening, and James Moody was there. And he knew my brother, Bill, you know, so he said, come on up and play, you know. And shortly after that, I started working with him in his band.
Ah,
so that was a bit of luck, you know.
Yeah.
So started working with him and then freelancing a little bit around New York, worked with Lou Donaldson for a bit. And then my brother and Ted Kirsten had a band. I played with them, you know.
Right.
And then eventually, Moody was able to get the gig for me with Dizzy.
Yeah,
you know,
that was 62 or so.
That was 62. Yeah.
By that point, Kenny Barron was already known in New York jazz circles as a talented composer.
I started writing, simple stuff when I was in Philly, and when Bill moved to New York, I sent him some of my music, and whoever he was playing with, you know, they played it. And he wrote me back a letter and said they really loved it. So that was encouraging.
Yeah.
So I kept writing. The biggest incentive for composing is actually hearing your music played well.
Right.
By
right.
other people. Yeah. And that's the biggest incentive that keeps you trying, you know. I've been fortunate. Dizzy recorded my music, and Yusef Lateef would record my music, Freddie Hubbard. So every time that would happen, that would give me an incentive to keep on composing.
In addition to recording Barron's music, Yusef Lateef was a profound influence on Kenny in other ways.
He encouraged me to go back to school, which I did, you know. And actually wound up being in some of his classes because he was teaching at Manhattan Community College. So I wound up going back to school at Manhattan Community College and got an associate's degree. And it was interesting because the band at the time was Tootie Heath and Bob Cunningham. Mm. We were all in school.
Is that right?
At the same time. You know, we all had different classes, but we all had a class with Yusef.
Ah.
You know, composition class.
Right.
Which was really great. It was really great.
Kenny Barron himself eventually got involved with teaching, filling long tenures at Rutgers, Juilliard, and the Manhattan School. He's led several outstanding trios over the decades, and in 1982 formed the Thelonious Monk-inspired quartet Spear, with saxophonist Charlie Rouse, drummer Ben Riley, and bassist Buster Williams.
The idea wasn't to be a Monk repertory company. We just wanted to play Monk's music.
Right.
And the idea behind doing that was actually because at the time Monk was ill, and he was staying with the Baroness in Weehawken, New Jersey, and he wouldn't get out of the bed. He was just laying in the bed. And our hope was that maybe somehow he would hear this music of his being played, and it might give him some inspiration to get up or do something. I mean, but as luck would have it, the day we recorded that album, I was driving Buster back to Manhattan, and they announced on the radio that Monk had died that morning.
I'll be damned.
As we were recording his music.
Kenny Barron also got to make outstanding music with sax great Stan Getz.
The very first time was, which never got recorded, was, and I don't even know how he got my number, but I took Chick Corea's place.
Oh, and that Captain Marvel band?
Yeah, it was Stanley Clark and Tony Williams.
Yeah, that was a hell of a band.
Yeah, so, we played all of Chick's music at the time, so that was my very first time. Playing with him, and then we did about a month tour, and then I didn't hear from him for a while. Then he called me again, and eventually I went. You know, he had taken a position at Stanford University, RDoC Artist in Residence. So we'd go out there. We'd go out there and do concerts with him. And at the time, I think Al Foster and George Mraz. That was the band then. And then he started calling me to do like summer tours with him in Europe, and that was with Rufus Reed and Victor Lewis.
Kenny Barron and Stan Getz also made some beautiful duo recordings just a few months before Getz's death in 1992. Since then, Barron has mostly led trios, and it is his current trio he'll feature at Jazz Fest tomorrow. He's recorded, though, with a variety of ensembles over the years. Here is Kenny Barron with a Brazilian-flavored band, a title tune from his 1992 CD, Sambal. Thank you.